Right. Welcome back to the DeFalco Files. I am Sin City Steve, being joined by the one and only Mr. Joe DeFalco, owner and creator of FSW here in Las Vegas. Joe, how you doing today?
Well, I'm forged in fire. That's what I am.
You know, man, AI lyrics, gotta love them, right?
I'm telling you. I'm still trying to understand it after all these months.
You know, It doesn't really matter what the lyrics are anymore. I mean, clearly, if you look at any music today, people don't pay attention to lyrics. It's all about just the vibe of the music and what kind of feeling they get from it, I guess. So, nonetheless.
Well, it's a Matt Michaels classic. You know what I mean?
Hey, it's definitely a classic. We'll say that. Yes. Something that you won't forget. So, you know, speaking of things that we won't forget, obviously, we are coming up right on the 16th anniversary show for Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas. So let's just dive in. Let's talk about it. We'll talk about a lot of the matches on the show. And if for some strange reason you're listening to our voice, you're watching the podcast, whatever the situation is, and you don't have your ticket, we're going to go over with you exactly how to get your tickets, how to be there to witness this show live. Because, yeah, it should be memorable for sure. So, obviously, that show is going to be highlighted by our main event. And we're going to have Danny Limelight putting the FSW championship on the line against Ice Williams in a 30-minute Iron Man match. Joe, talk to me about this match and set the stage for maybe somebody who has never seen the FSW product before on what they could expect.
Well, you got Danny Limelight. He's been a champion for about a year. What many people would claim is the heavyweight champion is the face of the company. And for a long time, that's how it seemed. Danny Limelight, you know, beat guys like Hammerstone. He beat Kenny King on his road to becoming the heavyweight champion. And Ice Williams is a guy that he's never beat. And so he had that going against him. But recently, Ice Williams had been signed by the WWE for the ID program, and it seems like a lot of the focus started to get taken away from Danny Limelight, and then we did the benefit for Bay, and then two of the greatest FSW champions, or three, you know, for the benefit for Chris Bay, one of our greatest champions ever, Hammerstone and Cross main evented that show. So the last few months maybe hasn't been the best for Danny Limelight, and, you know, maybe to solidify that legacy, a victory over Ice Williams is something that he probably needs for his mindset, you know, and we talk a lot, and I like Limelight, and, you know, the thing is, he seems to be a little frustrated, he seems to be a little disappointed, you know, he had a fantastic match with Santana, who killed it, in NXT, and now the word is WWE is looking for possibly bringing him in. And I always tell the story about that match that if you didn't know who was who, you wouldn't be able to differentiate which one was a major league wrestling superstar. And, you know, that shows you how good Danny Limelight is, because I've always been a fan of Santana. You know, I remember talking to him at TNA when they were at Sam's Town. And when he was first in TNA and they were part of LAX, I remember not thinking as highly of Santana. They were feuding as they were the LAX at the time. I think Conan was with them. And they were feuding against the old LAX, which was Hernandez and Homicide. And it was a lot of, you know, punch kick, you know, more story-based than work rate, I guess you could say. And at the time, Pentagon and Phoenix were kind of running the tag division there. And I remember being at the taping at Sam's Town, and they had Santana wrestle Rey Fénix. And it was probably 3 days. It was probably the pay-per-view and 2 days of taping. And I remember being blown away from the singles match that those guys had, because they were now feuding at the time, LAX and Pentagon and Phoenix. And I remember seeing them the next day. So it was probably the first day of the TV tapings. And I walked up to them, introduced myself, and I'm like, man, I got to tell you something. Like, this by far was the best match I've seen this weekend, was you and Phoenix. And I'll be honest, like, you know, with your feud with LAX, you didn't really get to show your abilities. And I said, man, this was great. Like, I was totally blown away about how good Santana was. And then they went to AEW, and I figured sky's the limit. And then they kind of got lost in the shuffle and were more of Jericho's lackeys. So when we were able to do Santana and Limelight, I tell people, I'm like, you couldn't tell the difference on which guy was the TNA superstar. And I know, you know, Danny's had some issues when he was younger, you know, young and dumb, as they say. And it seems like he hasn't really been. And again, it was nothing like, oh, my God, like, cancel this guy. It was just stupidity. And he's come a long way since. And unfortunately, it seems like a lot of the major companies have kind of passed on him. And, you know, obviously when your dream and your goal is to be a wrestling superstar, you know, he had his some time in AEW. And, you know, somebody's got to like you if they're giving you matches with Moxley and they're giving you matches with Kenny Omega. They don't just throw, especially when you're kind of low on the card and you're an AEW dark guy and you're not really getting a lot, you know, and you're not really signed to these big contracts. So obviously he was well-liked. And again, his stupidity kind of got him out of there. And then it's like, okay, yeah, he was in his 20s, whatever. And, you know, it's a shame because, man, he's as good as it gets. You know, when he's on the mic, you know, just talking, he engages you into caring. And that's one of the most difficult things to do in professional wrestling, is for people to give a shit. And, or, hey, I'm the heel, but I'm cool. Go buy my t-shirt. I'll sign it for you. What do you need? And it's hard for people to dislike somebody who's really nice to them. But, you know, with Limelight, and again, not that he's not nice to people, because he generally is when you see him at a show or whatever, but his persona, his shtick, whatever you want to call it, you know, gravitates to you wanting to see him get his ass beat, trying to make the baby face be cheered for. And, you know, so this is a big moment, you know, at the benefit for Bay, he was match two on the card, you know, so there's that chip on the shoulder of wanting to show everybody how good you really are. So this is a huge match, and being the main event and it being an Iron Man match, you know, Danny Limelight, I'm telling you, is going to bring it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. It's really crazy that you mentioned that he is so good at connecting with the crowd, getting them to give a shit, because that was the very first thing that I noticed about Danny Limelight when I saw him in person in front of an FSW audience. Is he grasps your attention immediately, and he does not let it go, no matter what. Whether you love him, whether you hate him, he's going to make you pay attention to him and actually care about what he's doing. And that's something you can't put a price tag on, man. Absolutely. So, but yeah, the 30 minute Iron Man match, it's going to give both guys ample opportunity to showcase what they can do as well. So obviously this is a great instance where a match stipulation is going to benefit both guys. You're going to be able to see everything that Danny Limelight can do. And let's be real, Ice Williams has that WWE ID So he's got that extra set of eyes on him wherever he goes. So you're going to be able to, you know, open up what these guys can do. These guys are going to put on one heck of a show for sure.
Yeah, and the faction will not be at ringside. Limelight's crew will not be at ringside. This match has been said. It's one-on-one, and it's, you know, may the best man win. And I said, you know, Limelight also has that knack of not beating Ice Williams ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is definitely a big one for him. And again, all the titles are on the line. It's the anniversary show, Brittany Brooks and Gypsy Mack. Yep. As we talked about last week, it got a little testy, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And again, Brittany's on edge. You know, she's had opportunities, then she's gotten hurt. And it just seems like whenever the championship is on the line, even though she won the Future Legend Women's Tournament, but this is the reason why she's come to Vegas. This is the reason why, you know, when she came from Arizona, that this was, you know, on the wish list. The bucket list was being the FSW Women's Champion. And, you know, I'm pretty sure most people didn't have Gypsy Mack on the bingo card being the FSW Women's Champion before Brittany Brooks would be. Despite the fact that Brittany's only got a couple of years in compared to Gypsy, who's been doing it a lot longer. You know, Brittany, boom, out of nowhere, became the phenom. She became, oh, she's the one to watch in the women's division for being signed, being looked at. While Gypsy Mack was an afterthought. She was an afterthought for us. I barely ever used her until she came to Vegas and really put in the work. And she is someone who made herself better. She put in the work. She saw what was ahead of her and wasn't content. And that's why she should get all the credit in the world. She wasn't content being the fourth, the sixth, the seventh best woman on the FSW women's roster, because we're always looking for somebody. And hey, can you move out of the way, Gypsy? Jada Stone's looking to come in. Hey, Brooke Havoc's looking to come in. Wow, she's kind of exploded since we used her. Now she's all over GCW. And Zamaya, she's a badass, you know? And it's like, can you move out of the way, Gypsy? I might be able to get you on Future Shock. But she put in the work. And now it's like, you can't have that conversation and Maserati and Rochelle Riveter without putting Gypsy in that mix.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, it really does go to show just that hard work does pay off. And you know, with Gypsy holding that championship, she's done a hell of a job thus far holding that championship. I think that when we talked last week, I said that this match has the potential to steal a show. I definitely think that both women, they've got a lot to prove. And I think that both women will shine in this match. And yeah, we can only see what's going to happen. And we'll find out on the 15th. So,
you know, yeah, then, you know, the young prodigy, he probably wrestled in front of the largest audience in FSW history as we were on Channel 8 live now. And, you know, we're told they have 30 to 40,000 viewers on the average show. So that would mean more people watched Bodhi wrestle than the Chris Bay show. So, but this is a true David versus Goliath. He had a little warm up against Oliver Canada, who's about 6'3", 260 pounds. He's a big boy, but Duke is a big man. He is a monster, you know, 400 plus pounds, 6'5", MK by his side. You know, the odds are definitely stacked against the young prodigy. And despite being, you know, one of our top guys and being a former No Limits champion, you know, this is a huge upset if Bodhi can somehow, some way capture the Nevada State Championship, but I wouldn't put anything past him winning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Duke versus Bodhi for that Nevada State Championship, you hit the nail right on the head. It's a David versus Goliath type of a scenario. I do want to not just gloss over something that you mentioned. The anniversary show was plugged on Channel 8 this past week. Talk to me for a little bit on how vital it is to have such a good relationship with local news media and actually promote your product and get maybe some of those eyes that haven't been on the product before.
Well, it's huge because I always talk about what a transient town Las Vegas is. And I also talk about how when we first started, you know, we'd be on commercials for Monday Night Raw and we would have commercials for SmackDown. But the bottom line is there's nothing to do on a commercial. USA, that was the only way to watch it. And okay, now you got maybe back in the day, some people had DirecTV, so not everybody had access to it. But then became the TiVo and the DVR, and that basically stopped people from watching everything live. But then all the streaming and everybody cut the cord. Myself, I have 19 streaming services. I have every streaming service you could have. I got Paramount. I got Peacock. I got Apple. I got Netflix. I got Prime. I got Hulu. I got MGM.
Jeez.
I got AMC Plus, you know, and the funny thing is, it's like, oh shit, man, that's a lot of money, but it was probably half of what cable would cost.
Exactly.
And now you get to watch a million things. So, right. You know, and I know I'm probably missing out on a few of the other services, you know, that are available. I got Stars, you know, I got to watch Our Power and BMFs. Yeah. So it's like I have everything. And the thing is, I can't go on any of those and buy a commercial to watch Monday Night Raw. You know, Morgan and Morgan spent all the money on Netflix, and it's probably, you know, $50,000 to be on, you know, for that.
Or more.
So how do we get anybody who wasn't aware of FSW to become aware? Yeah, we got the – and again – we got Facebook, we got Twitter, we got Instagram. And again, that's the go-to because it doesn't cost anything. But the bottom line is not everybody has that. So they don't know we exist. Well, local news live now, you got 30,000 local viewers who are now aware on top of everybody else. So it's crazy because for years, hey, we might get a spot on Las Vegas Weekly. Hey, we may get this little spot in the Review Journal. But thanks to WrestleMania, all of a sudden, you know, we got FSW on the air. And then when we were doing the thing for Chris Bay, we got that on Channel 5. So we got Fox and we got Channel 8, you know. And so that's two of the, you know, three or four biggest stations in Las Vegas. And if you're going to watch the news, you know, it's usually Fox 5 or Channel 8. So, you know, we're in great shape there. You know, I was wishing Fox would have did more stuff with us. You know, I saw they did another company. It's like, oh, what are you doing? But, right. You know, I already got hit up by them that if Mania comes back, they wanted to do something. And I'm like, our door's always open. Like, you tell me to call, I'm there. I don't care what it is. You know, I got up at 4:30 in the morning to be there for Channel 8. You know, we got at Channel 8, the studio, at, I guess, about 1 o'clock. Had the guys, they set up the ring to do a one-minute segment at 3:01. And then do basically a 3.5 minute segment. So by the time we were done, it was after 4 o'clock. So we were there for 3 hours to be on the air for 4 minutes. But that was worth it.
Absolutely.
Because you can't, you know, if I bought those 4 minutes, it would have probably cost me $1,000, $2,000 just to do that. That's why it's important that we get the marquee up on the Silverton that outlooks the highway.
Yes.
That has thousands, 10, 20,000 cars a day minimum. 20,000 cars might be low. It's I know that back in the day when we had it at Sam's Town, the one time they put their actual billboard up, greatest thing ever. It was by actually Boulder Station, and it was when Matt Hardy was wrestling, and it had Rebby and Matt and Tyshawn and Bryce Harrison and Remy Marcel, I believe. And the thing was up for about 3 weeks straight because it was painted. It was like a painting sticker or whatever it was. And it was straight. Then became the billboard that was rotating. And they were able to do it that way. So then it became 10 seconds long, rotated every 90 seconds. So they'd be like 9 or 10 billboards. And they would rotate. So you'd get them for 10 seconds every minute and a half, let's say. And for a week, thought it was a pretty good deal. Still is. It was about $500 or $600. It's probably gone up. But the thing is, you can't stop somebody from driving. It isn't like Star Trek where you can get beams somewhere. So it's like you go to radio that nobody listens to regular radio anymore. And if you do, I used to listen to sports radio, but now I got Sirius XM. So guess what? I never are on local radio. But if I was and I was listening to music, the song ended and went to commercial, I would hit one of the 8 pre-buttons that I had already. So radio sucked. And that's why radio spots you can get for $20 a pop. TV is the same thing. You can get some of these for $20 a pop. Newspapers, who the fuck reads a newspaper? You know, maybe the Las Vegas Weekly because it's free. People get it. They skim through it. But they want like $1,800 for like a half page for that week. So you have to take advantage of any opportunity because the biggest reason all these companies fail is because they have no promotion skills whatsoever. I used to bitch, you know, we'd be the only company that would hand out thousands of flyers at the MGM or the Thomas and Mack or wherever WWE used to do the shows. And it's like, it's funny, there's other companies, but they don't hand out shit. Like, why do you think there's only 52 people there? And I never understood it. And I always told everybody, yeah, that's great. Another company's coming in. Nobody's going to outwork me. I am going to fail. But if I'm going to fail, it's because nobody was interested. I didn't provide a good enough product. Not that I didn't know about the product. And that's where almost 90% of other promotions, not just Vegas, other promotions, period, that run a couple shows, you never heard of them. Or you got companies that are bringing in name guys, and it's like, it doesn't matter if you had John Cena on the show. If you didn't promote it, nobody fucking knew. Exactly. So if you don't know, you can't build it and they will come unless somebody knew about it. So whether it is, hey, we're going to work with Channel 8. Hey, we're going to work with Channel 5. Hey, we're going to work with the Silver Knights. You know, we do things that monetarily for that moment do not pay us very well. It's for the exposure. It's for the getting the word out there because hockey fans at the Silver Knights game who don't know who we are, or we did the G League when we did it for the Mexican Heritage Night, and it's like they barely paid us. We didn't. It wasn't like, hey, well, that was not even a good week for a guy who has a job. What I made from that show, you know what I mean? It was like, yeah, it was some pocket money, and the guys made a few bucks, whatever. But the bottom line was knowing that there was hundreds of fans or 1,000 fans there that maybe didn't know that we existed. And the more we could do with the Silver Knights, so we did it a couple times and get it out there. Hey, let's try to get to the Las Vegas Lights. Let's try to get to the Aviators. Who cares? If somebody's going to be there, let them know, because people don't know. I've gotten a couple messages. Hey, I didn't know you did wrestling in town. Well, Yeah, now you do. And it's like too many people rely on Mikey over there announcing that he's going to be at that show down the street downtown on Saturday. Well, that's great that Mikey's friends know. But if you don't know Mikey, you don't know that there's a show. You know, and that's why we try to get it out there as much as possible. You know, every time I see, hey, things to do in Vegas, hey, Sin City events, whatever it is. But the problem is there's only so much time in the day. And as a small company, you can't be paying everybody to go out and put stuff out because you can't afford it. You know, you can't go out and spend, hey, I'm going to go spend $30,000 to advertise a show that I'm hoping to bring in 10,000. Well, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not AEW. I'm not Tony Khan, where I could spend millions of dollars and then hope 5 years down the road I get to recoup that. You know, I love wrestling, but I don't love it that much to go broke and move into an apartment.
No? Why not?
You know. Maybe in 10 years when I'm too old, but you know.
Yeah, man, it's crazy that, you know, there are still people that live in the Valley that don't know about FSW, to be completely honest. Of course.
And that's why WrestleMania, going into the Hard Rock Cafe. You know, I did it because we were looking at as another venue to host something. Well, when it became unusable because of the freight elevator and getting the ring in there, and he decided they still wanted to do the watch party, fuck yeah, I'm going to be there. Even though I think three people are going to show up. Well, guess what? Three people didn't show up. And a lot of people showed up. And oh, nice. Now I messaged them and I got my message back today. So now they got the okay. And FSW will be there Saturday and Sunday for the watch party. Because now they saw how successful it was. So, of course, they're going to do it Saturday and Sunday. And they're going to do the after party, hopefully comedy show. And we'll get John Morrison to be there. And then there was a few others that were interested. And now that they're back, that's me. I'm the talent agent guy to these people. I'm the guy who's got the Rolodex. Oh, yeah, I got RVD's number. I'll hit him up. How much you willing to pay? Hey, I got Rikishi. I got the Godfather. I got Booker T. I got a whole bunch of Hall of Famers. On my, I guess I won't say Rolodex because nobody has that anymore, but my contact list.
Your contact list.
My contact list, yes. So the opportunity is there. Yeah. Running shows, putting together events. You know, we had a lot of ideas of what we wanted to do. And before you knew it, 7 months became, oh, shit, WrestleMania is in a month. Now it's like signed, sealed, and delivered. We're good to go. Yep. People were ready in place. The connections are ready in place. If it didn't happen for 3 or 4 years, I'm pretty sure my guy Matthew at the Hard Rock probably won't be there anymore. He'll either be in a better position or he'll be at the Hard Rock Hotel, which might even be better for us because then maybe we can do the actual show at the Hard Rock Casino.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I was just going to say, let's go ahead and just throw this up there. And we might as well tell Fox 5 to get on the phone because WrestleMania does return back to Las Vegas next year, Saturday, April 18th and Sunday, April 19th from Allegiant Stadium, of course. And so nice. They're running it back and doing it twice.
Hey, you know what? And so are we, you know, we have 5 venues within one day. Not 5 venues. We have 5 promotions within one day that confirmed shows. Already the Friday schedule is taken. You know, Poder's coming back for 11 a.m. The Texas Wrestling Cartel's coming back for the same slot that they like, 2 p.m. It looks like a new company, so I'll let them announce it. You know, be back at 5 p.m. We're probably going to do the 8:30 slot like we did last time. But we got a couple ideas. You know, I'm talking to my boy Chris Bay. I'm talking to Jay Vidal. We're talking about different things. You know, I love what GCW does. I love the blood sport show. Well, we had our own version called Natural Born Killers with Kevin Cross. Cross will be back in Vegas. I put the word out, you know. Joey Janela's got a spring break. Well, you know, love for Chris Bay to run a show with me, bringing in his boys. And, you know, yesterday, one of the hugely successful shows was in New York City. House of Glory did the Puerto Rican show that, you know, being myself, half Puerto Rican, and Jay Vidal and Danny Limelight. And even though he's half Samoan, the other half's Puerto Rican, our guy Toa Leona, you know, we had talked about doing that before Santana did. So there's talk of doing a one for the Latin culture that I'm trying to put together for next year. I want to do something different. I want to do innovative stuff, you know, talking about, hey, how about a meet and greet Q&A with the Nation of Domination? Because I'm tight with D'Lo and the Godfather and, you know, Ron Simmons is cool and Mark Henry. They're all going to be in town. There's so many different variety of things. You know, we have the FSW Arena. We also have another venue that we do our big shows at called the Silverton. I didn't lock it up last year, but got Stardom and Spark Joshi the contact for the show. This year, the Silver Nugget's back in play. So, you know, we could do a three venue, I won't say collective, because when the flyer came out and Mikey posted it as something collective or whatever, I got my message. It's funny, Brett Lauderdale, you know, if he isn't just sending me the updated picture from 1977 Vegas Strip, it's hard to get in touch with him. But he was like, hey, are you calling your show The Collective? I'm like, okay, bro, it's called Full Tilt. I don't know what he wrote, but he it was Full Tilt 3, the something collective. And it was like, hey, Mikey, wipe the word collective off there, because, you know, the stooges from the internet who look at everything, you know, because I know Brett didn't see it, but somebody was like, hey, you know, they're calling it The Collective. They're trying to step on your toes. It's like, yeah, sure we are, because one has to do with the other. So, yeah. So, you know, we'll either be renting the ring to him again, or we'll be moving it to one of the other venues, because, you know, we've already locked in somebody who did one at the other venues, and the other venues are overpriced. And I'll tell you what, though, that, you know, you can go to the space and meet Las Vegas, but if you think they're that any better than the FSW Arena, you're nuts. But there's no way they're near better than, say, the Silver Nugget or the Silver. So, you know, those places have overhead lighting. You know, they don't even have lights. Like, at least we invested, you know, $800 on a pair of lights to go over the ring that they don't even have in those places. And all they're doing is trying to, you know, money grabs. You know, the people we work with aren't going to be like, oh, yeah, Joe, we'd love to have you on a Thursday, but we're going to triple the price because it's Mania weekend. We already have a working relationship, which now saves other people who are looking to come in that are now paying $5,000 or $6,000 for a Wednesday evening. Yeah. You know, that's more than the Friday or Saturday normal cost. While, you know, if you're going to go to the Collective with GCW, bigger shows, obviously, in some cases, more power to you. But nobody's going to be like, hey, you're going to take the Palms over Silver Nugget? You're an idiot. No, of course you're going to take the Palms. But when you're taking the Palms, you're going to dig deep, you know. And I saw there was a listing. And even like a show like Defy, you know, it sold 400 tickets. Well, I'm not sure that covers the cost of the venue alone, not talking about the talent and all the other stuff. So you have to be careful. because, you know, if you could do a couple hundred, that's cool. But hey, how about do a couple hundred and not lose your ass? You may not make money. You're probably not going to make a lot of money. But the idea wasn't to make a lot of money. It was to make people aware of your product, because live streaming's big these days. So if you can get 6,000 people to watch your show instead of 600, well, that's 10 times the difference. Probably your streaming money will be at least five times better.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You know, we did pretty decent for Mania Week, or that, you know, that month generated us, I'd say, about three times what a normal decent month would do for us.
That's awesome.
And again, a normal decent month isn't very good. Again, that's, you know, not even a good week at work, just because that's the way it is. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm not going to bullshit people and be like, oh, yeah. You know, somebody hit me up. They were asking about a ring rental, some kind of like pay-per-view boxing thing on some company called millions.co or whatever. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, we could rent it to you for X amount. Never in my life has somebody said, well, hey, usually when we work with the partner, instead of paying them a flat fee, we give them a percentage of the pay-per-view. So the percentage usually is around $2,500. And I'm like, really? So you're telling me you make $7,500 on your pay-per-views. You got 3,100 followers on Instagram. Okay. So 7,500, my cut's 2,500. I'm trying to rent you out a facility for 3 hours for like $800, but you're going to pay me 2,500. Wow.
I said,
I'm happy with the flat fee. If you would like to give me more money, I'll be more than happy to take.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, yeah, when you put it into perspective like that, the numbers just stand out, man. Absolutely.
And it's like the most money we ever made, obviously, came from the Chris Bay show. And that didn't do what they did. With 3,100 followers on a boxing type show, yeah, with unknown people from Vegas that they usually film in like some boxing ring in the middle of somebody's gym.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, send me the cash. So I'm just trying to lock in the ring rental date.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man.
And it's like, you know, okay. Well, if you show me these numbers, first off, give me the info and the person to talk to from that company. Because I know what people make on Triller and the averages on some of these things. And you're telling me that your one pay-per-view, because ours is the accumulation of all the minutes and usually three shows for that month, but also the show from last month that we did and the shows that we've done for the last 8 years, 5 years, whatever it is. So even though this had, you know, 80% of the volume is based off the shows this month that are live, but 20% is also the anniversary show or the No Escape show, you know. So for every 100 views of something new, there's still, if you add everything up, it might be more than 20% by looking at the numbers of, hey, four people watched Future Shock and seven people watched this and who watched the Bay thing again. So, you know, so those numbers seem ridiculous to me. Again, have I ever been wrong? Of course. Could I be wrong? Sure. But looking at how many likes and looking at all the stuff, we have way more media attention than they do. Then, boy, am I doing something wrong if they're making that kind of money.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, when you're putting it like that and when all of those numbers are on the table, yeah, that's pretty astounding, man. That
We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned the Silverton. Obviously, let's kind of loop back in here and continue talking about the Sweet 16th anniversary. One match that I am definitely looking forward to is, quite frankly, it can set the table for quite a bit within FSW. You've got the Cash in the Case ladder match. You've got Watson, Fresco, JKM, Jay Vidal, Bateman, and Evan Daniels all going at it. And obviously, whoever ends up with that case gets to challenge for whatever title they want. So obviously, let's set the stage on this. And again, let's get some of those unfamiliar eyes on what they can expect.
Well, you know, you're going to get a guy like JKM, who's going to be flying all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And a guy like Bateman is probably just going to try to knock everybody out and walk up the ladder and just grab it. Like, that would be what I think his game plan would be. You know, Fresco and Watson, regardless of what they would do after one of them won, they definitely are going to be working together to acquire the case. So it's them two. They could be in a very advantageous spot, especially if one or two others get knocked out. Now now one guy is going to hold down somebody else to allow his partner, because it is his partner. Now, deep down, is somebody looking for their own glory? You don't know. Because, you know, usually in these type of matches, there's going to be a couple of guys that are going to work together, but it always falls apart based on the fact that, well, that's cool, we can work together and maybe eliminate two people, give our chances a little better. But the bottom line is, I don't give a fuck about you. I want to win. It's not going to do me any good to watch you win and cash in the case. Hey, my friend won. Awesome. Well, that's great if your friend won because you weren't in the match. But if you're in the match, getting hit with ladders, flying off shit, to have your friend win, you know, I want a friend like that. He's going to go out of his way to help me. You know, most people aren't going to do that. So, and then you got, you know, and then you got, hey, the Young Blood and JKM and Evan Daniels is a guy who's been around a while. You know, Bateman's the guy that I used at the old training facility, the old FSW arena in 2010 or 11. So he was already wrestling, and that was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
You know.
Definitely, man. That thing could go in any of those directions. All six of those guys have a legitimate shot at walking out with that case, man.
And the thing is, if a guy like Bateman wins, I could see him going after a heavyweight champion, Nevada State champion. If JKM wins, I could see him going after the No Limits title. You know, I could see Fresco and Watson obviously going after the tag team titles. You know, Jay Vidal, he's a guy who's got TNA experience. Evan Daniels has never held a championship in FSW, but he's gotten a lot smarter as he's gotten into this business compared to when we first used him. So he's going to make a wise decision. And I would bet right now that Evan Daniels would be like, yeah, let me cross Duke Lawrence off the list.
Yeah. Well, I think pretty much everyone would end up crossing Duke Lawrence off the list. I mean, challenge that guy?
You know, because a lot of times in those matches, when you do cash in, you're usually waiting for a weak point. You're waiting for a moment of weakness. Well, Duke doesn't have many moments of weakness, because I don't think he's ever. I think the only time he got pinned was when he wrestled Shogun for the heavyweight championship, in a match that, man, Duke almost won that match. So you're talking a while ago. And, you know, Duke is a monster, as we said, you know. So Bodie's got a lot of work cut out for him. You know, we got the mixed tag match. And, yes, you know, that says a lot. If Zamaya or Maserati can, if the women end up affecting the outcome and one woman pins the other woman, I got to say that whoever wins that match would probably be in line to wrestle the winner of the Brittany Brooks Gypsy Mac match.
Oh, yeah.
And if Maserati wins, there's no doubt, because she was the former champion who had to relinquish the belt because of injury, and she's been a two-time champion. So she's kind of first in line unless Zamaya beats her two times in a row. Then you got to say, well, I think she's got to get the first shot.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, I think that there are more stakes on the table than what meet the eye. You mentioned the Maserati and Remy Marcel versus Zamaya and Kevin Koa match. Definitely some longstanding implications there for sure. All around, man, from top to bottom, the 16th anniversary show looks like a very, very solid show. And let's not forget, we've got the tag team champions putting their titles on the line as well. Transcendence, Damian Desire, and Bryce Saturn. I mean, realistically, I think, you know, in a four-way or a multi-team match, they, you know, if the faction does walk out of the cash in the case, I mean, I don't know if that might be a pretty good opportunity for them to, you know, seize the day, if you will, if they choose to go at this thing together. So,
you know, strike when the iron's hot. Like I said a few years back, Graves won the cash in the case, and they cashed in that night. Against the 1% of Royce and Jarrell. And, you know, Royce and Jarrell were fine after the match, so it wasn't like they were beat down, but they got smashed from behind from two hammers, Hammerstone and Graves, and they walked away the champions that night. You know, most people don't expect it to happen. So they probably weren't even thinking, hey, we better make sure we're prepared. And they got jumped, and they got lit up. And, you know, those things don't happen that often, but they could. And then we also have the No Limits title, Dante King. Yes. You know, Braxton may have saved Dante King's reign by stopping Bret the Threat from using the belt when the ref was down. So now it's a triple threat match. So kind of rules thrown out there. So we're pretty certain that we will have a winner in that match. So... yeah. You know, every match on the card is very important. Even the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal.
Yeah.
You know, you got the first ever FSW heavyweight champion, Kenny King, in the match. The Pain Train, Dave Mazzani, returns.
Nice.
But you also got a lot of the youngsters. So there's people out there that, hey, maybe I didn't win, but shit, I threw Kenny King out. I deserve a spot on the next show. Or, hey, I won this battle royal. So it's a mixture of mainly a lot of younger talent. But we're also, you know, on the horn trying to get some names from the FSW past, you know, for the moment. And it's the 16th anniversary. Love to have some people from, you know, the first few years who had success in FSW's growth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of the 16th anniversary, keep in mind for those of you that are listening or watching the podcast, it is going to be coming to you Sunday, June 15th at 5 p.m. from the Vail Pavilion at the Silverton Casino in Las Vegas. If you can't make it to the show live, you can watch it on Triller. Don't know how much longer it'll take for you to get that check from Triller. But in any event, Joe.
Still waiting. It's coming. There's, you know, Pony Express, they have the Snail Express, it's called.
It's something, man. And But in any event, if you cannot be there live, make sure that you check out the show on the streaming platforms. Obviously, you know, speaking of working together and the relationships that get formed with independent professional wrestling, Joe, you've worked with Konnan before to get guys to AAA. Obviously, there was a bit of a co-promoted show this past weekend. What do you see going forward after the highly successful Worlds Collide show this past weekend?
Well, I learned something very new about 30 minutes ago that, you know, when you go on Twitter, usually it'll have somebody's name who's trending and it'll say follow. Well, shockingly, this one said follow back, which means they follow you. And then I looked, it was Mr. Iguana.
Ooh, really?
I'm a little disappointed that Mr. Iguana has followed us.
Yeah.
And we did not follow him back. I immediately had to hit the follow back button.
Absolutely. And obviously, if you're watching the podcast, you can see I've got the image of Mr. Iguana up there on the screen right now. That guy made one hell of an impression on a large number of people this past weekend. Is it pretty safe to say that we're possibly going to be getting a Mr. Iguana sighting at the FSW Arena sometime soon?
My guy Ruben Zamora, he does the Masked Republic stuff with Klein Rock.
Nice.
And I saw Ruben post. He was there, of course, because Ruben and Klein Rock with Masked Republic, they get the visas for a lot of the Mexican wrestlers. So with CMLL, when AEW is in town, I go to catering. You know, I got to score some free food. And who's there? Ruben with all the luchadors, because he basically got most of those guys their visas. So he's got carte blanche. So I got to hit him up like, hey, bro, Mr. Iguana, you know, what's it going to take, you know? You know, last Cinco de Mayo, not this past one, the one before, you know, we had Psycho Clown versus Sam Adonis, one of the biggest feuds in AAA history, kicked off at the FSW Arena. So, you know, it'd be pretty cool to bring Psycho Clown and Mr. Iguana back. For that. So, you know, I got a good relationship with Konnan. So the thing is, now I'm not sure moving forward how things are working. You know, a lot of those guys that we had that he used worked the Tijuana shows because they were a little different than the main card. And, you know, some of those guys did get on the main card, you know. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see, because now anybody who works AEW, no shot. Working the AAA shows. Right. So, hey, maybe they need some of our guys.
Yeah.
You know,
Mariachi
Montaña got to work. Mm-hmm. Maserati got to work. You know, so we're going to see. And again, it's always good. Somebody calls, you answer. You know, I've never had an ego to be like, oh, fuck these guys. You know, they're bigger than us. And it's like, you know what? They're bigger than us. They can help us by getting one new fan. It's worth my time. Because I do a lot of shit most of the time for free anyway. So who gives a shit? This is actually benefiting me. Like, how do I not do something that's a benefit to what I'm trying to do? You know, because, hey, like I said, I messaged Gabe Sapolsky the minute I heard the rumor.
Yeah.
And, of course, he plays... You know, he played very coy. Oh, I only know what I read on the internet. I'm just like you. You're okay, Gabe.
Right. That's awesome.
Now we'll see. So now the game plan is, okay, what can we do differently? You know, a lot of people, again, were like, you know, Jay Vidal, hey, we're going to do an FSW show this year. And I'm like, why? You know, it's like, most of the people that came to these shows were not our fans. Most of our guys are wrestling all over the place. Just to do another FSW show that we did 2 weeks ago isn't going to get them there. We need something that's like, oh shit, WWE ID show. Hey, that's different. We're running it. We're going to get some of our people on Future Legend Women's. We got our people on that. So you're going to come see your favorite FSW people, but you're going to see new blood. That's the whole variety of Mania Week, because understand, people come into town, most of them come to watch the WWE. Now, the Vegas fans are already here. A lot of them are coming to the WWE. It's their chance to go to the media events. It's time to go to their meet and greets. It's to go to the Hall of Fame ceremony. They've gotten some money, but they don't have to spend a lot to get here and the hotels. So how do we get them to come to our event? How did we get a full house, the WWE ID show, when 15-minute drive away, WWE had their Hall of Fame show? And we had an ID show with guys that aren't even really signed to WWE per se. So we have to make it important. You know, last year there was a couple companies that didn't want to do it, but people had asked me, our fans asked me. So the idea is we're going to have 12 shows. We're going to have all inclusive, you know? So if an average ticket is $25, you know what? We're going to have 12 shows. You pay $15 a ticket for each show. So that's $180. You got 12 shows instead of $300. Maybe now you come to our show. Not everybody wants to go and pay for parking and pay for this and pay for that. Well, you can park for free. Use a beautiful outhouse from the urinal place because our one bathroom is not enough. You know, porta potty.
Yep.
But we're going to give you, hey, something cool. Oh, shit. Hey, we got a comedy show with John Morrison and some WWE guys. Hey, we got karaoke. And that's what they're going to do around town.
Yeah.
But do you want to go to some bar you never heard of? Or do you want to go to FSW that you know well? You're going to get treated well. You have any issues, you're going to talk to me. We're going to smooth it over. Hey, I bought front row. Hey, I got to move some people around.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the most hands-on owner that anybody is ever going to deal with, that is always trying to make sure that the customer is satisfied and happy.
Yeah.
You know,
I can definitely attest to
try
that.
To make you, hey, you know, this is how it is. You know, I'm sorry. You know, a lot of people, hey, you know, I tell the guys, and again, dealing with the idiot kids. Okay. So the Furman crew, they're going to get the first seats by the ramp. They're coming. Okay. All of a sudden, some guy I've never met, never seen before. Now he's a little bothered. Okay, well, I said, well, this is front row. Well, yeah, it's technically front row, but you're in the guardrails. You chose to sit there. This seat is taken for a VIP member. Or you can sit anywhere else, bro. There's you're early. There's 30 seats. And, you know, got to give you the stink eye, like I'm rude, and I try to be as nice as possible. And it's like, but we've met people. Hey, how do I get one of those? I'm like, well, you know, these are our regulars. They reserve the seat. They're like, hey, you know, normally we don't reserve them for one, because one, it's easy to find one seat. But when you start getting 3, 4, 7, 8, you know, we got a party of 13. We got 2 parties of 5 for the anniversary show. Party of 13, if they want to sit together, I got to put a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And fans value that. Like, hey, my guy Lee comes with his mom all the time to the big shows. They always are the first 2 seats because Lee came when he was 9, 10 years old. You know, Cutthroat Cody and the crew went to a school one day, met Lee, and Lee comes to the shows ever since. Don't come to as many. But now Lee's like 20, but he still likes the seat. So the mom's like, hey, we got the seat. So I put the seat there with their name. Somebody moves the thing. Hey, I'm going to need you to move. Blah, 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 blah. Because they come up to me. Hey, somebody's in my seat. And it's like, Hang on.
Here we go.
I'm only running the Chris Bay benefit show right now. Let me stop and ask somebody to move over two seats. Because it's really important to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I gave them that option to do it.
Yeah.
You know? What am I going to say? Hey, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
I asked you. So there's people that are one. There's a gentleman, Eric, who comes to our shows. Hey, you know, he tries to tip me like $5 after it's done. Hey, thanks for saving my seat. You know, it's like it's one. He could have sat anywhere. But right. it's like them believing that I give a shit. And yeah. I do appreciate every single one of these people who's spending their hard-earned $45, $50 to sit in that front row.
Yeah.
You know, you could sit 10 feet back for $20.
Yeah.
But you want to be right up there. So why not be comfortable? Why not be happy?
Exactly.
You know, the reason we say, hey, we're the fam, it's the fam. It is like a family. Go see, you know, Brandy and her man who are now getting married because they met at the Silverton FSW show.
Congrats to them. That's awesome.
And Jace Battle, don't wrestle for me anymore, but the girl he married was somebody who had a season ticket to the FSW show. And the kids class kids who are best friends or they're friends and they hang out together, yet the kid who was 12, who's now 20, still comes to see Bodie, but he doesn't wrestle anymore. And that's what the community thing is all about, the fundraisers, all that stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that it speaks volumes that, you know, each one of those instances that you mentioned is a real life scenario. And this makes up the family. You know, you hit the nail right on the head. So if you're listening to the podcast right now, if you're watching the show right now, take some time out of Sunday. Join us at the Silverton Casino at the Vail Pavilion for FSW's Sweet 16th anniversary. Again, Sunday, June 15th at 5 p.m. And if you can't be there live, then check it out on Triller. Go on to fswvegas.com and get updated for all of the future events as well. And before we wrap, Joe, do you have anything else that you'd like to throw out there?
Well, yeah, it's Father's Day. I'm a father, and I'm pretty sure my son ain't going to be at the show. So, hey, if you're a father or you're a son, come by and say hi.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Don't say, yeah. Hey, Joe said to come by. I didn't think I'd actually buy a ticket.
No paper here, my friend. No paper here. So awesome, yeah, man.
It's like, you know, it's going to be a big night. It's our anniversary. So it's basically an anniversary, a birthday, and a Father's Day.
Yeah, all rolled into one, man.
It's like three holidays in one.
There you go. Get Dad a ticket and, you know, bring him to the show as well. Can't go wrong there, man.
No, well, absolutely.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us today. Obviously, if you can't get the picture yet, you need to be at the 16th anniversary show. I don't know how much more plainly I need to say it, but until next time, guys, I'm Sin City Steve for Joe DeFalco. One, thank you. And until next time, we will see you in the next episode.